VentureCast.
But it's kind of, I guess, become the unofficial Irish national anthem. And so I started searching around for performances of Danny Boy. Why did I have to call time out? And what's going on with you?
I had to mute myself. It's murdering me that you're choosing Danny Boy. I cannot wait to hear it. Just like this summer, I had a conversation with a guy, and then it was funny. Like, I developed a horrible drinking problem. All I do is hang around drunk and toothless listening to Danny Boy. And I'm like, it's a beautiful number, isn't it?
50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
Let's go. Welcome back.
Sleigh Bells! Sleigh Bells! You waited a week and now you know. The name of that band is Sleigh Bells.
Okay. The poor people, they waited actually 2 weeks. Anyways, Sleigh Bells, check them out. They've got a real aggressive guitar for your car. Hey, gentlemen, we're still in Ireland. It is time for our three songs. Who wants to go first tonight?
I'm happy to do it.
Let's go, Ben.
I have the great good fortune to select Fontaine's DC. So there's apparently a new music college in Dublin, Ireland called BIMM, started in 2001. And these four fine young Irishmen meet at the BIM Music College. And if you go to BIM Music College and look at their alumni, they've only been around since 2001. You can imagine they're quite pleased to trumpet that Fontaine's DC went there, graduated, and then almost immediately got signed to Partisan Records. And Partisan Records is kind of a badass independent label in Ireland. So they've got these guys, Fontaine's DC, and the Idols, and Laura Marling. And actually, the Idols are a great pair with them. So this is the post-punk movement. And really, really, really likable. It's like kind of got some punk music to it, but a different vibe, new mood to it. You'll hear the singer's got a thick, thick, thick Irish accent that he's not kidding around about at all. This entire movement, this whole post-punk thing, I think at one point the Idols was my favorite, but now Fontaine's DC is now my favorite. It goes back and forth between these two bands. Super dig it. It's a remix. It's old sounding music done with a new twist. And in particular, it's a super fun thing for 50-year-old white guys like in middle age. Like, it's these young, aggressive kids, and I'm like, oh, good on you, fellas. Look at this. They're still angry. Angry out there. It makes me so happy. So there's a half dozen, maybe even 10 great Fontaine's DC songs. And I had a hard time choosing one. I bet Timmy's favorite would be The Boys from the Better Land, which is great. That's actually about the Irish experience of moving over to America and then hooking back up the American Irish. A similar one, shorter, more kick-ass, and about violence, which makes me super happy. Jeff, if you'll give us, and just start from the beginning of Liberty Bell.
You know I love that violence that you get around here. Ready, steady violence, that violent, how do you do? And the lawyer went and steady white sleep in a phone booth. He's just very, very tired of having that same old boring conversation. Just like me, just like you, man is on the notch, yeah, what you gonna do about it? You know I love that violence that you get around here, that kind of ready, steady violence. That violent, how do you do? The lawyer went and studied white sleep in a phone booth. He's just very, very tired of having that same old boring conversation. Just like me, just like you, man is on the notch, yeah, what you gonna do about it? Is it easy just to try it? Is it the same old lie?
Ben, where
that's
Wait, go ahead. Go ahead.
You're sad about the fade out, Timmy. You wanted more.
I wanted more, but I'm like, where did these guys come from? Like, how can this be 2021? Right? I mean, their sound is our youth.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's so good. So here's some things that I love. Oh, so first of all, the song is called Liberty Bell, spelled B-E-L-L-E, and they're all from a neighborhood in Dublin called the Liberties. So, which I don't know that, but I know it to be a neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
I almost chose the second half of the song because it's basically like these looping. Oh, one of the things that's super cool about them is they were poets before they were in the band. They released a book of poetry before they released an album. Like, they've got this real, like, lovely, wordy, Irish poety thing going, and the particular, like, the Irish violence with the poetry. It's my jam, 100%. Hey, at the end of the song, they go, he was a lovely fella. We knew him well. I think he owned a place called the Liberty Bell. That's the song. That's where the name of the song comes from. And it's that hilarious, like, Irish humor where it's a pub called the Liberty Bell, B-E-L-L-E, in their neighborhood, the Liberties. And they're singing about getting in fights at bars. All of it, just gold for me. And every song sounds like that. Like, they've got the fantastic, like, the really running bass line that's way up high in the mix, and then the jangly, angry guitars along with it. And then that guy's thick, thick, thick accent as he mumbles out about what it's like to be an Irish kid. Fantastic.
So fun. So fun.
Do you know what DC stands for, Tim?
District of Columbia.
Dublin City.
Ah, that makes sense too.
Yeah, so they're named after Johnny Fontaine, the character from The Godfather.
Yeah.
But then it turns out there's a band from LA called the Fontaines. So that's why they do Fontaines DC, as if they're like a soccer club. It's fantastic.
I do love that. I think the band name is fantastic. It's great.
Have they toured here in the U.S.?
They have. I have not had the good fortune to see them, but they have toured.
I haven't either. According to Spotify, they're on tour with PJ Harvey.
That'd be really fun.
Yeah. So that's good stuff. Great stuff.
And they're all like local Irish. Like, here's the history, like the formation section of Wikipedia. Uh-huh. One of them was born in Barrow and Furris in Cumbria, but grew up in County Fingal, coastal town of Skerries, north of Dublin.
That's so great.
There's a bunch of them from County Mayo, which made me really happy. I've never been to County Mayo, but I do love mayonnaise, so I think I've got to go.
A little different.
Yeah, you do have to go.
Oh yeah, and I promised I've got three brief Ireland stories from that trip.
Okay.
All right, so first, number one, I went on a lovely trip vacation with India's mom and dad to Cork in Ireland.
Yes.
I mean, we were only going for a week, but I had extra time. India was working. So I took 5 extra days and went to Dublin by myself. Super fun.
Let's go.
And because I had the time, I was like, you know, I've heard this amazing stuff about this Harry Potter series. So I bought the first book on the flight over. Then I landed in Heathrow and got all of them in the Bloomsbury edition, which made me really happy. So I read all of the original British editions, and it was through the 5th book. That was the books that were out then. Uh-huh. In 5 days, I read 5 books walking the streets of Ireland and drinking. It was amazing. I stayed at the big college. I stayed at Trinity College
in
the dorms.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. It was the summer, so they were open. So I stayed in Trinity College. The last night with book 5, I stayed up till 3 a.m. And I was like, if there was a 6th book, I would break into a bookstore. Like, I would exit my room with a crowbar and go get another book.
So you totally associate Ireland with the magic of Harry Potter.
Absolutely.
That was
first memory. Second memory, we had an unbelievable once-in-a-lifetime meal. Really one of the 10 best meals I've ever had. Here were the features of the meal. You drive to the coast, and then you park. And it's a long hike down in to a house. And the house has got a long stairway going down to a little cove where there's a fishing boat floating on it. And the husband is an Irish fisherman, and the wife is a Japanese sushi chef. They met, got married, and what you do when you eat is what he catches that day, and she kills for you that night. It was so unbelievably delicious and awesome. like I remember that they, to me, I remember as if they didn't have electricity. That may be wrong, but I mean, it was like super rural and crazy. And there were like 10 tables and the lady was just right there, like, you know, pulling out the live flopping fish, cutting it up and serving it out to you from the North Sea. So fucking fantastic.
That is awesome.
And then last and absolutely 100% not least, India Kincannon took a pregnancy test and came up positive for Dahlia when we were in Ireland. So these are all things that happened while we were there. Isn't that amazing?
It's a magical place. I tell
it
you
is
what.
Indeed.
That is great.
That's fun.
All right, Jeff.
So I struggled a little bit because it turns out some of the bands that we think of as Irish are just not Irish. And so I'm going to hijack here for a minute. What do you do with Shane McGowan? Born in England, goes back to Ireland from age 2 to 5, and then moves back to England and lives in England through his entire career in the Pogues. Ireland claims that band, but he is not an Irishman.
Well, that's why he was parents. So angry.
Well, it's one of the reasons, I think. That in the English orthodonture system. But I just, it struck me that Ireland is one of those places, like, and Tim is not an example because he just showed us 8 generations of Irish connection, but people love to be Irish adjacent, but it's a tiny island. There really isn't, I mean, like 7 million people. So I was looking at artists and there are some artists I like, but once you get past U2, you go way down on the international impact scale. And so instead of talking about a band like I like the Boomtown Rats or something like that, and not taking one of Timmy's Irish beloveds who I'm going to leave for him, I was thinking about, you know, I always pick bands or albums. I thought I'd go after a song.
Oh, that's actually what I'm doing as well. I'm so excited.
Uh-oh.
No, it's going to be fine.
Is it the same song?
No, I doubt it. 100% doubt it.
Okay. Because I was in an argument this summer, not an argument, but like, what are the 10 most beautiful songs ever written?
Okay.
And I put up Waterloo Sunset and people, God only knows, and somebody said Danny Boy.
Oh.
And then they sang it for us. And I was like, I got to admit, that is a beautiful, beautiful song. And I got a little obsessed with it. It's a song I knew, but it's not a song I had ever, like, why is Ben laughing at me?
I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
But it strikes me as like, even though it's written by an Englishman, and that's why I bring it up again. Once again, Danny Boy, not written by an Irishman.
It is? What?
Yes. It's an Irish fiddle melody that an Englishman wrote lyrics to. But it's kind of, I guess, become the unofficial Irish national anthem. And so I started searching around for performances of Danny Boy. Why I have to call time out. And what's going on with you?
I had to mute myself. It's murdering me that you're choosing Danny Boy. I cannot wait to hear it. Just like this summer, I had a conversation with a guy, and then it was funny. Like, I developed a horrible drinking problem. All I do is hang around drunk and toothless, listening to Danny Boy, and I'm like, it's a beautiful number, isn't it?
It's so great. I am all
just
behind this.
Listen to your daddy.
Anyway, I went around looking for the best version of Danny Boy, and there are a lot of terrible, terrible versions of Danny. It's one of those songs that gets oversung, like just sung in a way that is so unforgivably schmaltzy and awful, which is why I probably ignored it for the most part. But I found this pretty cool version of Danny Boy that was only performed once. It's live from an Irish television show in 1993, and the singer needs absolutely no introduction. So in my tribute to the Emerald Isle, and I'm just getting out of Tim's way so he can wax rhapsodic, here's a pretty cool version of the Irish standard of the 20th century. Here we go.
And I will hear though soft your tread above me. And o'er my grave will warmer sweet.
And that is, of course, the recently departed Sinead O'Connor, pre-Pope tearing, live on Christmas Eve on Ireland's version of the Today Show, singing Danny Boy a cappella.
Wow.
So yeah, I was just I actually was really struck by how few options. I thought Dublin was going to be an embarrassment of riches, and it wasn't to me. And I'm curious about that, like why I think of Dublin as one of the most musical cities in the world, but it has not exported a lot of great Irish bands. It's influenced hundreds of bands, but homegrown heroes are hard to find. But so I went with, I was just trying to think of like what song is more quintessentially Irish than any other, and what is the quintessential Irish performance of that song, and that was the best I could do.
Okay.
Hey, what's the baseline version of Danny Boy? Like, what's the one I've heard a million times?
What's his face?
Bing Crosby? Super,
Bing Crosby.
Yeah.
Oh, Danny Boy. Well,
were definitely going with that.
I got several things for you to... So you and I, Jeff, went to a few pubs, one in Oxford, one in Ireland, where it's a sing-along. And,
yeah,
you know, whether it's whether you're in an Irish pub or you're at an Irish funeral or you're at an Irish wedding, at some point, people are going to start singing. And it becomes a real big sing-along. And when that one gets sung and there's a person there who can sing it, whoo!
Yeah, look out.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I were there that night when... our professor took us out and that guy just took over the room and did it. And people were weeping. I mean, well, people were just collapsing on each other.
The Irish have their heart ready to go. Like it's at the end of their sleeve and scratch the surface and we'll start crying like nobody's business. But I am interested. Cause I had a similar experience this past week, like going back and listening to Hot House Flowers and just kind of being underwhelmed. And I love the Cranberries, still love the Cranberries, but it very much seemed like that was a band kind of localized in the 90s, in the early 90s, and they didn't have a kind of staying power or another sound to get to. And so then we're left with like two examples, right? That Van Morrison has had a long career and U2 has had a long career. But I think...
And I mean, U2 is crushes Van Morrison in the career department. I mean...
Van Morrison is from Northern Ireland, too. He's from Belfast.
Yeah.
But we've already established that Tim is laying claim to all of Ireland as Ireland. He's a real unifier, that Tim Klein.
Yeah, but... The crazy part about that, Jeff, is that Ireland loves music. Like, it is a musical place. There is,
yeah,
there are men and women playing every single night, up and down Temple Bar. You go to Galway, go to any town, there's a person with a guitar or a person at a piano.
Right.
But you're right. It somehow hasn't translated internationally, I guess.
Like Luca Bloom is like the closest thing I can think of to one of those guys who had like a international following. And that's a super modest example. I doubt he's got, I doubt most people listening to this know who I'm talking about.
Where's
with
Richard
the exception
Thompson
of
from?
Kevin Burax, the world's largest Luca Bloom fan.
Where's Richard Thompson from?
He's from England.
Okay. Son of a gun. Oh, well, Ben, big fan of O'Danny Boy?
He is not. He was guffawing at me.
Can't help you at all. It made me laugh so hard. That was super pretty. You know, Sinead O'Connor, he just died in acoustic. I'm not going to rip on that. That being said, it's a schmaltzy song and don't have much use for it.
So a little in memoriam, Shane McGowan, Sinead O'Connor. Dolores O'Riordan.
I was going to play the Pogues version of Danny Boy, but Ben might have actually had an aneurysm.
The Chieftains version. Hey, back in 1998, I was lucky enough to be awarded a poetry fellowship on the little island of Inishmore off the west coast of Ireland, just about, 15 miles into the Atlantic from Galway. It was a tremendous opportunity. They put me up in a house and they gave me the time and the space to just write and write and write. I was a member of a writer's group, however. And so I would go and I would teach the high schoolers. And then I would also lead an adult poetry group. And as St. Patrick's Day came around, they let me know that they were going to march in the St. Patrick's Day parade on the island. Now, the island is only about, 10 miles long, 2 miles wide. It has 1,500 miles of rock walls on this island, just rock walls everywhere. Not a lot of people. So the parade route kind of went from one area, went in a circle, and literally you could watch the parade audience walking alongside us as we marched in this parade. Not a lot of people on this island. They gave me, as the American and the leader, they put me in the lead and they gave me a giant pencil as two women carried a sign that said the Aran Islands writers group. So there I am walking with this giant pencil, waving at all the locals, smiling, having fun. And these two little Irish boys run up next to me. One is 7 years old. One is 5 years old. They've got the Aran Islands knit sweaters. I'm like, oh my God, this could be a postcard. You know, here I am on St. Patrick's Day in the homeland, walking around, little Irish youth running by my side. My heart was full, gentlemen. And that's when the seven-year-old looked up at me and he says, "What are you looking at, you pansy?" And I said, "Excuse me?" He's like, "You heard me, you pansy." And the five-year-old's like, "Yeah, pansy." And I'm like, "You shouldn't talk like that." And he goes, "Oh, the pansy doesn't think I should talk like that." It's like, oh, and they start laughing at me. And I'm like, "You know, I'm going to talk to your father." And he's like, "Oh, the pansy's going to talk to my father. Oh." And I'm just like, "Guys, go away." And like, look at the pansy with his giant pencil walking around with a big pencil. I'm like, I've never felt more uncomfortable in my life. I was being bullied by a seven-year-old and a five-year-old. I was like, get me out of here. And I'm sure like 20 years later, they're fighting in the MMA or something. But I was terrified. I thought they were going to push me into the sea.
And that's when you canceled the Aran Islands. Hashtag not here.
It was also on this trip where I met a guy, a grad student from NYU who was studying the people of Inishmore. And he and I one night went to a sea captain's home and we drank whiskey. And the sea captain kept playing us Bob Dylan. And it was great. And we just drank whiskey the whole night. And at one point, he's like, "What do you want to listen to?" And I said, "I want to listen to my favorite song from Ireland, Sinead O'Connor, Black Boys on Mopeds."
Oh, nice.
Because she sticks it to Margaret Thatcher.
Margaret Thatcher on TV, shocked by the deaths that took place in Beijing. It seems strange that she should be offended. The same orders are given by her. I've said this before now. You said I was childish and you'll say it now. Remember what I told you. If they hated me, they will hate you. England's not the mythical land of Madame George and Roses. It's the home of police who kill black boys on mopeds, and I love my boy, and that's why I'm leaving. I don't want him to be aware that there's any such thing as grieving.
All right, yeah, double Sinead O'Connor tonight. Who knew?
Yeah, last minute audible on my part. So
that's great. That's great.
I don't think Ben's ever going to forgive me. I feel like I'm not going to get a Christmas gift this year.
No, like, I know what you get you. It's a bottomless bottle of whiskey. As soon as I've moved into being obsessed with Danny Boy, I know where you're headed for sure.
If only I could make that my obsession. That'd be great.
Fun stuff. All right, gentlemen. We're going to back stateside next time, right?
It's about time LA? We went home, I think.
Los Angeles.
Time to head west. Time to head west. I'm psyched.
Hair metal, Ben Barton.
I don't know what I'm going to choose. It's really, LA is like, well, this is what
LA's impossible.
I mean, like, London was so impressive. I mean, London is just such a freaking banger. But they, I mean, like, right. There were more great artists from Minneapolis than there were from the rest of the British Isles.
Yeah, that's true.
Let alone L.A. or Philly. You know what I mean? Like, or Detroit or Chicago. Like
we got a couple of cities left. We might have to call home and tell them to put the dinner on in the fridge because we still have some places to go to.
Yeah, but no, what I'm surely going to choose is the Doors. It's just going to be all the Doors. We're going to do all the
Your favorite band, Ben's favorite band. He's going to have his listen to a 27-minute version of the end.
If we went more to Paris, keyboards. I was going to choose the Doors. I was going to choose that Jim Morrison.
Is Fat Elvis or Fat Jim Morrison more offensive to you?
Oh, I mean, Fat Elvis was still able to drag his ass out on stage. I mean, Jim Morrison is like way funnier. So good.
Might be the best movie bio, like music biopic ever still. Oliver Stone's The Doors is so epically, wonderfully horrible. I mean, just a garbage fire in slow motion. You can't stop watching. I love that movie.
And it just captured the band too, perfectly.
Oh. Like,
unwittingly, he showed how fucking stupid and useless they were.
Okay. Nailed it. All right, fellas, you have a great holiday with your families.
By the way, I feel like I should apologize to my dad, who I know is listening, whose first favorite band was The Doors. I'm just going to say, my dad actually saw The Doors at the Whiskey A Go-Go in 1966 before they had a record deal. And was like, hey, those guys are pretty good. So, sorry, Pops.
My dad also likes The Doors, and he's also going to be insulted. So
we'll send more whiskey. Ben Barton has been calling The Doors a cheesy lounge act since we were 19 years old. There's no reason to stop now. That's great. Hey, happiest of holidays to all you friends. You got kids home. And
to all our listeners, hope you're getting together with family during this season. And are you guys able to go to the holiday toast tomorrow evening or Wednesday evening with Electrocast?
So it's shockingly, I have not been invited to the holiday toast, even though I am both a recording artist and a podcaster. Okay.
I will forward that email to you. Maybe it's just, oh, that's awkward. All right.
I'm a little uncomfortable myself. Yeah.
Jeff, don't humiliate management. You know, like we can't, Timmy's on the inside. We're on the outside. That's just how it goes.
It is. I understand. To ask him how my deal's going, Tim, when you're there. Ask him if they'll put some money behind my project. I'd be really grateful.
All right. I will raise a toast to you.
But let's wait. Let's end where we started, which is people get on Substack, look up Timmy, start reading his book. Incredible accomplishment to go from nothing to something so quickly. We're super proud of you, boyo. Well done.
Well done.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Tim Plain, Substack. Jump on board. Bye, guys.
Peace.
Hey there, I'm DC. I host the Rock Podcast, Back to the Arena, The Interviews. It's about a 30-minute podcast where I talk one-on-one with a band who has released new music. You can find us on all the best podcast sites like Spotify, Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, and more. If you're a rock fan like me, subscribe today to Back to the Arena, the interview.
Electric Acid.
Ever thought about starting your own podcast?
Do you have a business or a message you want to share with the world?
Well, now it's easier than ever with Electricast. Hi, I'm Mark Netter.
And I'm Peter Rafelson. We're the founders of Electricast Media.
Whether you want to start a new podcast or already have one, join Electricast to grow your audience, monetize your content, and build your community.
With our simple sign-up, you get free promotion, world-class analytics, premium ads, and personal support.
Go to Electricast.com and join our community today.
Electricast. Transform your influence.
Electricast.